Barbell is at 8060. I had it in my mind that it was east of 75th, but it's east of 83rd Avenue on Thunderbird. So you can any kind of hardscape material. The Fisher family wrote in earlier and wanted to know the best product for sealing outdoor flagstone. I would just say go to Marvell and see what they're using locally. They'll know what's the best for you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If any hardscape material, masonry product, it's your one-stop shop there.
You can find it there. We're talking about cost of remodeling and how to pick that contractor. I see David in Scottsdale wants to visit with us. I'm going to get to you, David, here. Just be patient with me 1 minute. I want to talk through a couple points of picking your remodeling contractor, because we deal with it all week long. People calling us with horror stories about the project's been abandoned, the project, you know, isn't going right, the project isn't going according to budget, we've blown the schedule, it's a nightmare, and we're not able to solve that. So I'm trying to educate you who haven't started the project to get educated to the point where you can make your selection. So I tell people, narrow the choice down to a couple contractors. There isn't any reason to get 5 or 6 or 7 bids. Get it down to a couple, and here's what you want to do. You want to meet each one of those contractors 3 different times in 3 different locations, and you're going to be looking for different things each time. So let's cover the first meeting. The first meeting should occur, I believe, at your home. And the couple, the homeowners, should have spent enough time kind of perusing through Pinterest and Houzz and other sites and the Phoenix Home and Garden magazine and the Tucson Lifestyle magazine, just kind of cutting out pictures and collecting something that kind of feels the direction that you'd like to go with your remodeling project, the kind of look that you'd like to fall into. And the contractor ought to show up, and at that meeting, he probably is going to do a majority of the listing. You ought to be prepared to share with what is driving the purpose of the remodel, what's driving the urgency of the remodel. Is there some completion date that's absolutely critical, must be met? Is there some material selection criteria that you've got your absolute heart set on? And the contractor ought to do a good amount of work doing some measuring and maybe taking some pictures. And the very first thing you're going to want to check and see is, did they show up on time? Because this interview process that you're going to take these contractors through is what I call the dating game, okay? And before you marry this contractor by signing his construction contract, during the dating game, he should be showing you his very best, okay? So if he's showing up late at the very first meeting, that's one strike against him right there, him or her, okay? And make sure they're on time. Make sure they're prepared, and make sure they're ready to take a lot of notes. So the first meeting is you sharing with them what you'd like to get done. Turn your ears on and listen for cues about how much experience they have in dealing with this particular type of remodel in your particular neighborhood. That's meeting one at your house. All right. Now, let's go to David, and we'll come back and talk about meeting two right after we answer David's question. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Rosie. How are you this morning?
Hey, super fantastic. What a gorgeous Arizona Saturday morning, isn't it?
I completely agree.
Pretty nice.
So I want to try to make my wife extremely happy.
Okay.
And she does a lot of artwork. So she does ceramics, pottery. She does a lot of painting on canvas.
Okay.
And right now she doesn't have any room for it. We have a couple of kilns in the garage, and she does a lot of painting in the family room. And we really want to create a space for her. And I don't know where to start. We want to build an addition.
Okay.
And we want to build her a fairly large studio, and fairly large being, maybe 20 by 20 or something of that sort, or 20 by 40.
So that's a good oversized garage. So that's the
right
size building we're looking at. Okay.
So I don't know where to start. I don't know, since it's not a livable space in terms of it's not going to be a, bedroom or dining room. It's a studio, so it's going to need some special things, and I don't know what to do, where to go, what should I look for?
Well, the starting point would be, as I was talking earlier in selecting a contractor, is start getting recommendations from projects that have been done in your neighborhood. You're going to want to start with someone that's experienced operating in your particular municipality, because we're going to have to start looking at setbacks. You know, you own to the outside edge of all your property, but you really can't do whatever you want with all of that property. There's safety setbacks, there's utility setbacks that tell us we can only put that building so close to the back wall or to the side wall.
That's,
So what you do is an analysis of what we call the building envelope on your lot. What is the building envelope? We kind of draw that in on top of your plat map, and we say, okay, here's the area that we have to deal with. You've already mentioned a couple numbers, 20 by 20 or 20 by 40. Those are 20 by 40 is a big building, and how are we going to build it to match and fit in the neighborhood? So it doesn't look like just a big box. And then what are we going to put in there? You mentioned that you wanted it to be an art studio, not a living quarters. You know, I tell people, even when they build big RV garages, that you ought to consider, under the construction of it, running the plumbing and running the electricity to have it as a mother-in-law quarter, because it creates some appraisal value at the point you're ever trying to sell it. The next homeowner may not be an artist, may not need the 220-volt receptacles for the kiln, but may want the 220 for the oven that they're going to install in there for the little kitchenette, so they can move mom or dad back into the backyard instead of putting them in a private care facility. So those are all the things you ought to think about. And are you in a homeowners association?
No, it's horse property. So we have a couple of acres out here. So it's open. There's no homeowners association around us.
Okay, and you're on horse zoned property?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then Romy, you can. You can never have enough barns or garages on horse property. You've always got a place to park a trailer. You've got the live-in trailer. You've got the horse trailer. You've got places to dry stack the hay. So
over-engineer, definitely, in your situation. Make sure, you know, whether or not you put all that in right now, but make sure you do have the electrical, the water, and black water drainage back to the septic tank, all at least engineered for the install so it can be added to it later. Because if you just design it as a little outbuilding with a little cooling, trust me,
okay,
to add something later is going to be such a disruption and a cost. It'd have been so much cheaper to just add it up front.
Okay, that makes sense. I have one final question for you real quick, if
okay.
I don't mind.
No.
Or American Standard? Which of the two?
It's pretty much the same thing.
Manufactured by the same company.
Yeah.
The difference, David, is how the parts are distributed. Trane manufactures their equipment and only sells their equipment to Trane certified contractors. There are, it's like a question, do I like copper or do I like PEX? Half my plumbers will say copper, half my plumbers will say PEX. I ask all my air conditioning contractors, do you like American Standard or do you like Trane? And it really is all personal opinion. I have many air conditioning contractors who like the American Standard equipment as well as the Trane equipment. It really is engineered and built virtually in the same factory, as far as I know. They're built by the same company. Either one is an excellent selection.
And I don't know if this is the case for the air conditioning world, but I know in the appliance world, when you have one company that makes two products, it's for distribution purposes. They say, you know what, I'm going to make you this brand, and I'm going to guarantee that I'll only sell it to a certain amount of appliance installers in your area. Well, once they've maxed that out to grow the business, they just invent a different product
brand
and sell it to their competitors and market it different. So it's just a way for the manufacturer to get their product basically in everyone's hands. It's just under different names. Yeah. I don't know if that's the case with American Standard Trane or if one bought the other, whatever, but it is. I mean, they're coming off the same line.
They are. And we've had we've used both brands. We've had great experience with both of them. They're both very good pieces of equipment. So getting back to picking your contractor, we've talked about there ought to be three different interviews at three different locations, and we finished talking our way through that first visit. It's at your home. And it's like David, you know, he needs to get a couple guys out to his house and kind of walk it. He's in Scottsdale. They need to know, they need to be aware with City of Scottsdale ordinance requirements, in particular as it relates to native plants. There's a natural area that needs to be protected. We can't just go in there willy-nilly and start removing indigenous plants or, you know, cacti. That all has to be done according to city code and requirements. So we get the visit done at the house, and we're going to set up the second visit. And folks, I think the second visit ought to be at your contractor's office location. And there's a couple reasons for this. And we are a small remodeling company. Our office location is basically the cab of our F-250 pickup truck, okay? We have an administrative location, but it doesn't have a selection showroom or anything like that. We carry all that in our trucks. But you ought to take a look at their office to see how organized it is. You ought to take a look and see how are they scheduling their projects. Ask them to see the schedule of their construction crews for the last 3 months. Take a look and see, are they thinking ahead? I'm going to put the Jones job with this crew. I'm going to put the Smith job with this crew. The completion dates are here and here. I need to lock in a sale for the Wilson job for this crew to take over when they finish the Jones job. Are they thinking ahead? Okay. You ought to take a look at their bookkeeping system. Generally, in remodeling, you're giving deposits for work that hasn't been completed. You give a deposit to start the work. You give another check when the inspections for rough-in are made. And you're probably almost 90 or 95% paid for the job by the time you're finishing it. So you want to make sure they're not commingling funds and they're using money from the Jones job to finish paying for the Smith job and hoping your deposit check comes in so it can then finish paying for the Smith job. So take a look at their office and their admin support system. And again, that's the second meeting. And again, the number one criteria is the meeting held on time.
Okay. So three meetings. The first one was at our house.
At the homeowner's house.
That the remodeling is going to take place at.
Yes.
Number two?
At the contractor's office.
We're at the office, yeah. And like you said, it may be a pickup truck.
And just make sure it's a clean pickup truck. If the dashboard is covered with Burger King bags and Jack in the Box cups and months of unfiled receipts and invoices and statements and check stubs, if that's their state of organization, are you ready to turn over your house, your home, and your castle to somebody like that?
We'll come back and we'll talk about number three.
The third visit.